as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Now, Stephen was the one that said this, and he is being called into question about his conduct as a deacon in the early morning church. He had been appointed to help take care of some of the temporal affairs and be an overseer. And he was accused of trying to cause uproar and unrest amongst the Jewish people. And he was basically arrested and called before the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and brought before what they called a council. There's probably a lot of understanding we could gain on that. But anyway, the setting here was he was being accused, and it was they were making suppositions. It wasn't 100% accurate, but there was some validity in some of what they were saying. But it says in the first verse, in Acts chapter 7, he says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. And then he begins to begin with Abraham's call from God, and he goes all the way down to their current time, and it explains to them how Jesus is the Christ and why he's the Christ and why he's taken the position that he has. And in his, at the end of his explanation, he asked them these questions, or made this statement and asked a question. He says, howbeit the Most High, I'm reading in verse 48 again, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 and 35, he says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Verse 35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So, Jesus is the one that said that heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And Stephen is quoting Jesus as saying that. He said, that's what the Lord said. He says, hath not my hand made all these things? But he questions them, what house, in verse 49, what house will ye build me? So, the question I have for us today is, what house are you building? Yesterday, I built a doghouse. And I had two or three objectives. One is I wanted it to last longer than the last doghouse I built. And the last doghouse I built, I think, lasted probably 20 years. So I want it to last longer than that. Probably my last doghouse. And then I wanted it, you know, sometimes you have things that get in doghouses and you want to get them out, but there's no way to get in there without crawling in there, and I didn't want to crawl in this doghouse. So I had an idea, and I made it where the roof of it, it tilts up. It just hinges up, and you can get in there and clean this doghouse out or whatever. If there's some, if you, the dogs take something in the doghouse and you can't reach it, you can tip the roof up and reach in there and get it. So anyway, that's just there's just some things I wanted to do back in this doghouse. So ask us this morning, what kind of house are you building? Are you building a doghouse? I told my wife I thought I ought to build a nice one in case I got sent to the doghouse. But anyway, she said I wasn't going to get sent to the doghouse. But are we building a structure? What are we building? Jesus said that heaven is my throne. It's God's throne. Earth is his footstool. What kind of place are you building? What are you trying to build? He also, Stephen said, we know, 48th verse, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. You know, I don't have any aspiration or anything that God is going to live in my doghouse. There's no correlation there about him wanting him to be in my doghouse. But what are we building today? And what do we think we're building? We can't really build a structure to glorify God, can we? Although there's been a lot of people that have done so, or tried to do so, I believe that the temple that Solomon built was magnificent. It is a lot of precious metals. There was a lot of ornate things, and I believe that it was something that God accepted because he told them how he wanted it done, and they did it according to his plan. But there's been a lot of buildings made with the intent that this is where we're going to worship God, and God's going to bless it because of the majesty of that. And I question and I wonder, is that really what's happened? I've visited, we don't have many places of that stature in our United States, but there's places in Europe, maybe even other places, that have incredibly magnificent structures. We went into a cathedral while we were in Europe a few years ago, and I've never saw marble that was this pretty. And it was built at a time in history when my big question was, how did they do it? You know, today we have tower cranes and we have a lot of machinery and ability to move heavy things and to polish rocks and stones and all. But I don't know how they did it. But there was rock that had been carved and shaped and polished, and it was smooth as glass. And it was incredibly beautiful. And a ceiling that was, I don't know, it was like 200 feet up to the roof of this place. And they had a little elevator in there. We could go up there 200 foot in the air and walk out on this little platform that would shake when I stepped on it. And we could look at the paintings on the ceiling and see all of this artwork that was up there. It was really tall and really magnificent, and I doubt you could have seated more people than we have room for today here. Wasn't a very big seating area, but they had one of them we went to had a pulpit for the preacher to get in that was, it looked like it was gold. I guess it was, but the little staircase was gold and it went up with a band, all kinds of carving, and it had a little, looked like a little announcer's box up there for a Kentucky Derby or something, but he was up there on the side of the wall, and I guess that's where he talked to the people. You know, he was up there maybe 10 or 15 feet in the air, and all of this was sparkly gold colored. All of this is done for what? What did we build it for? Well, they may say they built it for God. Is he dwelling there? What are we building today? There's a lot of things that amaze me when it comes to structures and pictures I've seen of buildings that men have built. But none of their expense and none of their architecture and their fit and finish and none of that has the ability to really encompass God, does it? He says, "What will you build me?" So if Stephen's question was legitimate for those Jewish leaders then, don't you think it would be legitimate for us today? What type of house are we building for the Lord? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse, and notice what the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, what? Another question. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So the Apostle Paul says that your body is the temple. And this is a New Testament doctrine that God wants to dwell in you. We don't just go to a place of worship to get in contact with God, but God wants to dwell in you. Paul taught it. Jesus taught it. I believe Stephen was referencing this when he said, what are you building? What house will you build? The heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. What do you think you're going to build that God would say, oh yeah, that looks like a house that's good enough for me to dwell in? What are we going to do? He will only come in and live in your heart and in your life, in your temple, your body. He says, Apostle Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. Now, thinking in relation to our bodies of 1 Timothy 4 and 8, we might turn there. And something else the Apostle Paul said, and he was talking to a young man in the Lord. He says in 4 and 8, he's maybe start in verse 7. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. All right? So, for bodily exercise profiteth little. I wonder if anyone has told all of the fitness experts that. I wonder if they've ever read this. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Does it do any good? Yes, it does good. But you know, they've taken the efforts to maximize the human body to an extreme, haven't they? They have regimens and routines and all kinds of dietary supplements, and I don't even want to get into what all they offer for you to be able to get a result from your body, to make it look a certain way, to gain a level of strength or agility or whatever, is it good for us to have an appropriate amount of exercise? My answer to that is yes. But he says here, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So why wouldn't you want your body to be an exhibition of its maximum potential? Well, I feel that the answer is pretty obvious when we are going the world's route to maximize our physique in whatever area it is, that it has become something more than just a housing or a temple for the Lord. It's become a selfish thing. It's a selfish ambition. So that's not the answer. When Stephen says, what house are you going to build me? What are you building for the Lord? What kind of house are you building? If you were going down this path of maximizing your physical physique in any facet, I would have to tell you, you're misdirected. It's good to have an appropriate amount of exercise. It's good to be healthy, but the world has taken that to an extreme, and that's not what Paul and Stephen had in mind. So let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. We know this is not just our body, but we can get caught in this trap too. In Luke, the 12th chapter, and we notice here a man that had a lot of possessions. And he says, it's in a little parable, maybe we'll read most of it. Let's go Luke chapter 12, maybe beginning verse 16. He says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, there's times that we can feel that the Lord has to be blessing me because I'm prospering. I have means. I have it's obvious that the Lord approves because he's blessing me. This man here, it got to a place that I think it was a end result of a lot of probably good decisions, and maybe the weather was right, and I don't know. Everything just came together, and he had a lot of resources. He had lots of money, if you will. And he decided that he would do some building. And his building was to bring, build a bigger barn and be able to have comfort and ease and prosperity and all of those things. And we know that the end of that was that God said to him in verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So I'm asking us today to examine ourselves and what we're building. Are we building a physique? Are we building a financial empire to where we don't have to be, we don't have to depend on the Lord for anything? You know, there's something that prosperous people will teach, and that is self-insurance. You know what that means? That means that you're in a financial position that if instead of paying someone else a monthly or annual fee, you've come to a place financially that if something catastrophic happens, that you're financially prepared to take care of it. Storm blows a tree over into your house, then you just pay for having it fixed. It's more financially feasible for you to do that than to pay a monthly home insurance policy or something. So this man was very successful, and that's not the right thing to build, is an empire of wealth. But let's think about what we should build. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. One of my things that I did yesterday is I used a table saw a lot to change the size of some boards because lumber is so expensive now. I bought quite a bit of materials, but I took a treated 6x6 I had and made a 4x4 out of it, and then I whittled it out to make a piece that I wanted. And you know, we have an opportunity to build something for the Lord in this temple that Paul talked about to the church at Corinth. He said, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So there's some material we need to put in to that. There's a structure that we need to build to glorify God. So let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And he says here, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Did you know this is something that you need to put on your material list? It's something you need to build with. It's something that the Lord looks on in favor, is when you apply yourself day in, day out. If we don't, we become weak. Our temple is not the temple that God wants. So I want to ask, what are we building in our minds? I have told the boys and the folks I work with there at the shop that I think, at least my mind, and I venture that all of our minds are kind of like this, is kind of like a straw. So I want to draw this on the board. So if we have a straw, like this, it's a round tube, and we start putting stuff inside, and we just keep putting little BBs in this straw, and our straw can only hold so many pieces. And pretty soon, guess what happens? Stuff starts coming out the other end. So, however long our straw is, that's about how much information we can retain. Now, I know this is kind of simple and kind of basic, but so you keep pushing stuff in one end of my straw, and pretty soon that straw is going to get full and stuff's going to start falling out the other end. And you know, we have a choice of what we put in there. I can feed my mind on stuff that's really no spiritual benefit. I can feed my mind. I think our minds are incredible at how much information that they can hold. They think they have supercomputers and all those kind of things, but our minds can hold a tremendous amount of information, and it can be very selective in what it retains or not. You know, we can put things on the front burner of our life, and we can absorb information about statistics and ratings and all of this of famous people and special places and all of this kind of, and we can fill our mind to where the things of God are the things that start dribbling out the end of our straw, so to speak. So he says here, study to show yourself approved. What are you building? What are you building in this temple that should be there to glorify God? Am I building something that is... Have you ever went into a place of business or maybe a home or something and feel like you didn't fit very well? You know, if we haven't been filling our minds with the things of God, when we come to a setting like this, we're not going to feel like we fit very good. If I've been studying... One of the places that I have very little information in my head is sports statistics. I know Lou Gehrig played baseball. And I think I'm right on that. And I know Babe Ruth played baseball. And some of those other names people mentioned, and I can kind of associate what sport they may have played, a few of them. But I don't know how many home runs they hit, and I don't know how many baskets they made, and I don't know how many defensive tackles they made, and I don't know how many years and who the coach was and if they're still alive or not. I don't know any of that. I know Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth are both dead now. But, you know, I could fill my mind with all of that, and guess what would get squeezed out? Something that would make me feel in fellowship with the Lord. And if I came into a setting like this and all I knew was sports statistics, or if all I knew was things that pertained to my occupation, I wouldn't feel like I was at home. But you know what makes us feel like we're at a place that we feel welcome, that we feel secure, that we feel this is the right place and the right time for me to be? When you come into a setting like this on Sunday morning, if you've been building the right kind of building, if I've been studying to show myself approved, I've been yielding myself to know a little more today than I knew yesterday. To put a few more bullets in my magazine. You know, we have today it's not very correct to have a 100-round magazine, is it? But, you know, if we don't fill our magazine up with the things of God, he won't have anything to pull the trigger on. We won't have anything to shoot down the enemy with. The enemy is coming after us, and he wants to squeeze out, and he wants the things, the scriptures, to fall out the other side. You know, we can forget scriptures. We can forget the stories in the Bible. Have you ever, I had a man come to me one time, and he said, I've told this here, he said, the 12 days of Christmas, he said, is that Old Testament or New Testament? And I was flabbergasted that he didn't have any more comprehension of the scripture than that. But he was not You know, this man has a lot of other things in his mind, but the scripture is not one of them. He never put it in the other end. And if he had, it got squeezed out. What are we building? Are we building a database that, you know, sometimes at work, some of the younger guys will be talking about something, and I'll tell them, put that on a hook. That means put it in your straw. Put it someplace where you can access it. Remember this one. This is important. It's important for us to put things in our data bank, to put ammunition in our magazine, if you will, because the enemy is going to come around and we need to be able to take him out. What did Jesus, how did he take the enemy out when he come and tempted him? He told him what the scripture said, didn't he? He told him what the principle was in the scripture. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't do this. You can't worship other things. We've got to keep those things in our straw, in our mind, in our building, in our temple. What are we building? And what are we building with? So 1 Peter, just to reinforce the type of structure that we're building, 1 Peter 2 in verse 15, he says, for so is the will of God, that's not what I want, that's 1 Peter 2. Yeah, 1 Peter 2 and 5, excuse me. So ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, what? Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to realize we're building a spiritual house. We're building a house with material that will sustain spiritual life. I don't know if exercise adds life, but I do feel like that there are people out there that have exercised to the point and use things to enhance their body to the point that they've shortened their life rather than lengthened it. I think all of us could have, if we get the appropriate amount of exercise, it can probably add some time to our life, just given normal circumstances. But you can take it to extreme and can shorten it. Here he says, you're a lively stone, built up a spiritual house. What are we building in? What are we building, putting material in? Are we putting the word in? Are we putting good information? We have the opportunity to listen and do other things. We call it multitasking. Please don't try to multitask while you're trying to teach your children how to read or do something else that really takes all your focus and attention. But you know, you can listen to something else while you maybe wash the dishes or mow the grass, or as long as you're not trying to teach your children how to wash the dishes at the same time. But anyway, it's important for us to, what am I listening to? What am I putting in my head? What am I putting in my straw, my pipeline? Now let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And notice, we've got to be kind of selective with our building material that we put in our mind and our hearts. Matthew 15 and verse 11, he says, maybe verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defileth a man. What's he responding to? These are Jesus' words. The scribes and the Pharisees and those had come and noticed that Jesus' disciples had partaken of something to eat without washing their hands first. And they said, "Oh, why?" They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey the tradition of the elders and the our rules and regulations?" And Jesus' response was in verse 11 here. He says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." So what is it that comes out of our mouth? The first thing that pops in our head, the things that we've been thinking about and stewing over for a long time, either one of those can get us in trouble, can't it? If the first thing that pops into our head and it just comes spewing out, or if something's been eating on us for days or weeks or maybe longer, and we just, every time we see this person or every time we're in this situation, it just makes something start boiling up inside. And you know what? If it's something we've been stewing over a long time, or it's something that just popped in our head, it probably, we better be careful about what comes out. It might be something that defiles our temple. What kind of temple are we building? Are we building a temple with material that causes rubbish to come out? Inconsideration to come out? I think we ought to think before we speak. What we say obviously comes from within, right? What we do obviously comes from within. If I hadn't been thinking about building a doghouse, I wouldn't have built one. If I hadn't have been thinking about the need of, I burnt the old doghouse. It was getting kind of rickety, and I just put it on the brush pile and I burned it. So I needed one. I knew I needed one. I knew I needed to do something. So I was thinking about it. And that's what the product was. And when our actions start coming out, it's something we've been thinking about. You know, there's crimes that's committed that they call premeditated. It's because they've been thinking about it. You know, premeditated crimes are probably the ones that carry the stiffest sentence, isn't it? If someone has an elaborate plan to take advantage of another person or a situation, don't they get the stiffest sentence? It's the harshest punishment that comes for that. What are we building in our... Are we thinking about things that we shouldn't think about? Are we putting the right things in our minds? Are we feeding on the right material? Are we digesting the right kind of food that will build a house? Stephen asked the question, "What house will you build me?" He asked the people, what are you building? What are you building? What am I building? You know, I find this a great challenge. I'm not speaking to you today because I've got everything in order and that I've got everything all figured out, but I'm speaking to you one-on-one. I find it a challenge to control what I think about, to control what I take in, whether I'm listening, whether I'm reading it, whether I see something. You know how hard it is to turn your head when something comes within your eyesight. It's difficult. What am I building? Am I building a place? You know, something just come to my mind. I bought some fertilizer for my pasture earlier in the year. And it had it been treated with what we call Grazon. It's a broadleaf herbicide, but it was also urea and potash. So it was potash, urea, and Grazon. And I got it there to my house and started spreading it, and it started to rain, and I knew I had to get it all spread. And it just worked out really, really good, because I got it on while it was raining, and I didn't care if I got wet because I knew I was doing the right thing. And when I got done, I parked that fertilized buggy up in my yard, and there was some chunks of that fertilizer on that fertilized buggy, and by it raining, it melted and it run down on my grass. And you know, it was too much fertilizer and it was too much Grazon and too much potash for those spots, and it killed the grass. I got some bare spots, a couple bare spots for that. We gotta think about what I'm feeding and what I'm fertilizing and what I'm putting out there. What are we meditating on? What are we wishing that would happen? What are we hoping that would happen? Because we're building something. And are we building something that's going to be conducive for God's dwelling place to be? In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, and we'll bring this to a close. The writer here says something very, very profound, I guess you would say. For as he thinketh, 23 and 7 of Proverbs, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we're going to see what Jesus said. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles us. It's not the circumstances, but it's what we do with the circumstances. We can all have some negative circumstances in our life, and we can dwell on it and think about what kind of retaliation or vengeance or retribution needs to be handed out, and we can allow that to consume us, and when there's a convenient time for that, it'll come spewing out, and when it does, it's not very pretty. It's not very pretty at all. So I'd just like to ask us this morning to seriously consider, what are we putting in? Maybe your brain don't work like a straw. Maybe it worked. Maybe it's a lot longer than my straw. I don't know, but I just know that there's things that goes in one side, and for long, I know that there's things I've forgotten. I've lived long enough. I've experienced enough things in life to know that there's things that it's just gone. It's not there anymore. And as long as I keep, and what am I poking in one end? Am I continually poking in good stuff? Am I putting the right stuff? What am I building my life around? Am I building something that the Lord is comfortable in residing in my temple? Am I building something? Do I have appetites and desires that I'm harboring, that I'm investing in, that starts coming out on the outside? Maybe it's in our actions. Maybe it's in the way I dress. Maybe it's in the words I say. Maybe it's in the things that I go and participate in. What am I putting in to my life? What am I building? Because I'm not building a doghouse, and I'm not building a cathedral, and I'm not building any kind of skyscraper. I'm not building a bunker. I'm trying to build a temple that'll bring glory to the Lord. You pray for me.